This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org.
This is Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast that covers the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I am Zach Moore, and the Senior Chief is on shore leave this week, but I'm joined by our brother-in-arms from Melodic Treks and Warp 5, Brandon Shea Metella. What's up, Brandon?
I don't like this ice cream. Why did you give me this ice cream? This is terrible ice cream. It's gross ice cream. I don't want this. Where's my mommy?
If you haven't guessed already, we're talking about And the Children Shall Lead this week.
I'm pumping my fist.
We should have practiced the chant and could have had the Gorgon with us here too, Brandon. So Brandon and I, you know, we both have the same favorite episode of the original series, and that's Where No Man Has Gone Before. So we are in the alignment there. And we also have the same least favorite episode of the original series, and that's And the Children Shall Lead. You know, you're a man on the street Star Trek fan, right? You say, what's the worst episode of the original series? And people say, oh yeah, like Spock's brain, man. Or it's like, no. If you're a real Star Trek fan, you know that And the Children Shall Lead is the worst episode of the original series. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
I think that the casual Star Trek fan would say Spock's brain. The hipster Star Trek fan would say the alternative factor. And the real Star Trek fans like you and me would say And the Children Shall Lead.
Well, you know, this episode, it fails. And so we're doing a commentary this week, guys. So we'll key up in a minute. We'll watch along with it. But it just fails on every level, right? Because, I mean, when has kids in Star Trek worked, especially on the original series? I mean, they're not there very often, but when they are there, it's terrible. Miri's a bad episode, And the Children Shall Lead, right? I mean, that doesn't work. And then, of course, we'll get into our guest star as a stunt casting by casting a famous lawyer. That's genius. It just
boosts those ratings. Hey, Rascals is a pretty good episode.
I like Rascals. Apparently, people aren't supposed to like Rascals. I guess I'm like you in that regard, Brandon. I do like Rascals on Next Generation. That's a lot of fun.
Didn't Adam Nimoy direct it?
He did direct that one. That's right. And much like in that episode, they cast someone who had already played the captain's nephew as the main child in that episode, which is an interesting bit of trivia. I just realized as we're talking about it.
Which means that Captain Picard was sleeping with his brother's wife.
You look a lot like Jean-Luc when he was your age. Oh, man. So anyway, And the Children Shall Lead, it's infamous in Trek circles. It's season 3, so, you know, it's very season 3, and we'll get into it here. But, we just thought it'd be fun to kick back and just have a good time talking about this. You know, Mystery Science Theater just came back in Mystery Science Theater 3000. If you guys are not fans of it, I recommend it. Anyone who loves Star Trek, I feel, would love Mystery Science Theater 3000 because it kind of sends up these classic movies that we hold in such reverence, but at the same time are also often very cheesy if you didn't grow up with them. If you don't bring the nostalgia of childhood that you grew up watching with it, you could MST3K riff anything. So that's on Netflix now. So in the spirit of Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming back, Brandon and I are going to have our own riff on the worst episode of the original series And the Children Shall Lead. So we're going to count you down. And I'll count you down 3, 2, 1. We'll hit play, and then we'll start the episode. So whether you have it on Netflix or Hulu or DVD or Blu-ray or VHS or Laserdisc, when we do the countdown, press play. All right, you ready, Brandon?
Yeah, I will say, you know, we have the same favorite and the same least favorite, but the other 77, we're not in the same order at all.
We're not in alignment whatsoever. All right, Brandon, are you ready to do this thing?
Let's do it.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Responding to a distress call from our scientific colony on Triacus.
So Triacus, that's a cool name for a planet, huh?
I don't know what it means.
I should have looked that up beforehand, so... So they beam down to the planet set. It's got a nice purple sky. That's pretty cool.
These people have just had a wonderful party. Like, look at those go-go boots and those outfits. They are like, they have been partying way too hard.
And that's like some kind of, you know, I didn't realize it until we were watching for this. It looks like some kind of control panel there that is blown up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never saw that before up in the top there.
I just thought it was another paper mache rock, but they had a serious kegger the night before. So this guy over here, right? What is his deal? What do you think of the civilian clothes on the original series? I feel like civilian clothes throughout Star Trek are just garbage. Like, they're so ridiculous when they try to... What would a non-Starfleet officer wear, right?
Pajamas.
It's like purple onesies. I mean, orange. I mean, it's like Jake Sisko carries on this tradition in Deep Space Nine, right? In his early seasons, I can see him wearing these onesies.
Yeah. Who wore this best, Tiggly Piggly or this doctor? What are those guys called from that weird British show with the Teletubbies?
The Teletubbies, gotcha.
Yeah. Look, she's got the Miri disease.
That's right, she does. Reusing that makeup.
Miri Part 2, and the children shall lead.
Really, exactly. Miri's bad, this is bad. Are these the only two episodes that children are on, though? I'm trying to remember, Brandon. Do you recall the original series?
I think so.
I can't think of any
Charlie
other...
Charlie X, kind of.
I mean, yeah, but he was like 26 years old, the actor.
It was like the actor.
Robert Walker Jr.
Mm-hmm. All this is self-inflicted. Oh, this is just terrible.
Mass suicide.
And here come the children. They're all wearing the same boots. It's interesting.
They're very shiny, those boots.
Yeah, those are like super shiny, like standard Starfleet issue. Ray, see, one of the kids' name is Ray. See, there you go. That's another J.J. Abrams ripping off Star Trek for Star Wars, vice versa, right? Did you ever play Ring Around the Rosie when you were a kid, Brandon?
I sure did. I think every kid did. So this tall kid here, Craig Huxley, right? Invented the blaster beam that's used in the music for Star Trek the Motion Picture.
So when is he going to be on Melodic Tricks, Brennan?
I've sent him an email. I didn't get an answer from him. I don't know.
Well, you need to call him the right way. Friendly angel, come to me.
Yeah. That's no joke, though. That guy invented the blaster beam. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy. And they used it, I believe, in obviously Star Trek Motion Picture, but I believe James Horner used it as well in Star Trek 2 and 3 in his score, just not to the same extent. But yep. I believe that it was in those scores as well.
And Bear McCreary just recently used it in the 10 Cloverfield Lane score.
Oh, cool. You know, I haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, dear Lord. We are going to stop this, and we're going to do a commentary for 10 Cloverfield Lane right now. It is so good. It is. I did not expect that movie to be an eighth as good as it was. It was amazing.
An eighth is good. Oh, interesting.
It was amazing.
Good math. So the other significant piece of trivia about Craig Huxley is he played Peter Kirk mm-hmm. in Operation Annihilate, another great episode of the original series. There you go. There's another episode kids are in. The kids really weren't the problem with that one, though. So it's curious to me that why they would cast him again, right? I mean, it was just two seasons ago, and he looks pretty much the same. I mean, but that's 60s casting right there, right? You see all these shows reuse actors in different roles and bit parts like that, you know?
Well, I'm sure it was like it's hard to find kids to do acting. It's like nobody's going to be watching these episodes over and over back in the 60s, right? So they're not going to recognize.
I guess Billy Boomy was busy with Lost in Space, huh? That's why they didn't get him. Too much of a crossover. It's probably some contractual obligation that he can't guest star on Star Trek. It would have been great to see him on Star Trek, though. I mean, he was great in The Twilight Zone. He was in three Twilight Zone episodes, actually. So
he was in Deep Space Nine.
That's right. And he was in Babylon 5. No, Jim. No indication of any kind. Or a fear. So they built those graves pretty fast, didn't they, Brandon?
Well, it was a commercial break. We don't know how much time it was.
Well, they don't seem very worn out from digging graves and putting tombstones down. I mean, the technology of the 23rd century is very impressive.
It's because the red shirts did it.
Yeah.
The security guards.
Spock just made a good observation about humans. They're believing what they choose and ignoring what is painful. That's true.
Except for some reason, we're choosing to not ignore what is painful, and we're doing a commentary about it.
I need my pay.
Where's Cybok when you need him? What about questioning? Yeah, so I had to do this episode for the rewatch this year, for the From There to Here rewatch.
Oh, like, you did? Okay.
This is just awful.
And you probably said, I'm never going to watch this episode again, and yet here you sit.
Yeah, here I sit. You know, people like to make fun of me because I like episodes that people tend to not like, but I mean, this one, I just, ugh.
Look
boy,
at this
oh
kid. This kid knocking over the UFP flag.
Such a disrespectful breath.
I mean, I wonder, do they have to burn it like they do the American flag when it gets hits the ground? You know, that's the rule here in the United States, Brandon. Did you know
what?
That? If the American flag touches the ground, you have to burn it because it's been, you know, tainted, disrespected. Does Canada not have a similar rule?
I don't know. I don't throw my flag on the ground.
So, you know, you're the music guy. You're Mr. Melodic Trickster. Do you like the original score for this episode with the Ring Around the Rosie incorporated into the musical score?
Why you gotta ask me such complicated questions?
Trying to keep the listeners engaged here, Brandon. We want to use your unique knowledge and perspective on the situation to enlighten them.
This is not a memorable score. I don't even know who did this score. You probably know better than I do. Get your book. You got the book there.
I do.
What does Cushman say?
I have Mark Cushman's These Are the Voyages, Volume 3. And I'm, you know, looking up that information as we speak. Very compelling radio here, guys.
I don't normally listen to this disc on my 15-disc box set from Lulaland Records.
Composer George Dunning. He had already provided scores for Metamorphosis and Return to Tomorrow. For this third assignment, his metonymous brass and percussion sting as the children shake their fists soon becomes annoying. That's some commentary there from Mark Cushman. So.
Actually, this is a neat score. Now that you mentioned that this is Dooning, like, there's some really crazy sounds that you hear later on in the episode, like these weird, like these really crazy sounds. This is actually a neat score, now that you mention it. I forgot that Dooning did it.
Cushman goes on to say... He goes on to say the worst idea by far was to incorporate the public domain melody of Ring Around the Rosie into the score. It was the scriptwriter's idea to include the nursery rhyme in the episode, but Dunning can be called accountable for its inclusion in so many other areas of the score. So that's his analysis.
I should get Mark Cushman on to do an episode on this score.
You then. Should. You should. So the Ring Around the Rosie song is in public domain, which is why Star Trek can use it. That's why Star Trek never listens to things that are past like 1920, unless it's a movie and they want to play some Leonard Skinner or some Roy Orbison or perhaps some Beastie Boys.
Or some Beastie Boys.
Now, Spock and Kirk have gone in this cave here, and this is Shatner... The way Shatner acts in this episode is the way people parody him acting, right? I mean, he's really overdoing it. I'm getting a feeling of anxiety. Yeah, his body movements, his contortions. I feel like, I mean, he's playing the part here because he's being influenced by, you know, this energy from the Gorgon. But people who zero in on Shatner, you know, hamming it up and being a quote-unquote bad actor... This is the Shatner they're thinking of, and he's doing it in a specific way in this episode. You know, I mean, you look at other episodes, he's not acting this way.
Right.
But it was the third season, and everybody was mailing it in a little more than they had in the first two, I feel, because they knew they were on, you know, they're on borrowed time. They were the Friday night death slot, so.
Do you think he had the toupee now?
Well, his
is that a toupee?
His hair is different in, you know, the third season from the first two seasons. You can really tell... You know, people talk about Riker's beard, right? You can tell by, like, Kirk's hair and also the uniform material because the uniform material changed.
I like these season three material.
Yeah, it's velour. Is that correct?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But this is the same material that they use, you know, obviously in Star Trek Continues and shows like that. They continue on the show. And a bit of trivia there, you know, when Star Trek Continues did Fairest of Them All. See, we're doing everything we can to not talk about the episode we're talking about. But that's, you know, that's what you do when you watch episodes like this. Freeform Star Trek discussion. They did A Fairest of Them All, the sequel to Mirror Mirror, which took place in season two. So they actually had to make different uniforms made out of that older material for the episode, so they match. So that's attention to detail that Star Trek Continues brings to it is great. And then obviously everything else from Star Trek Continues is season 4, so that's why they had the velour costumes from season 3 and onward.
What room are they in? What room is this? Where are they?
You see, I guess it's the Arboretum of the NCC 1701. Not quite as impressive as the Enterprise D's Arboretum.
So, like, this poor kid doesn't like his ice cream. Can they only use these cards once? Like, they can't use the card again, or what?
It's interesting.
Look
I thought
how disappointed he is. Coconut and Vanilla, they're both white.
I thought they Coconut and Vanilla. That sounds amazing. I would totally eat Coconut and Vanilla. But he's complaining that they're both white. I'm like, what's your problem, man? Like, they both taste good. And then he's greedy. He wants 3 flavors here, right? I thought when I was first watching this, because I haven't watched this episode in forever, right? But I mean, why would I? I thought, oh, maybe this kid's gonna have a breakthrough here. He looks a little sad, right? He's gonna remember his parents, and that's gonna kick it off. But no, he was just sad about his ice cream.
He has a chocolate wobble and peach and whatever the other one was, pistachio. Like, I want a third flavor too. And she's like, oh, really, kid? And then she like puts it in and it just makes it.
No problem.
I have never seen that set before, whatever set they were just on.
Well, no, it's a combination of the rec room set, obviously, which doubled as the briefing room. And then I guess they found all those leftover plants they had from the man trap when Sulu was still the botanist. And that became the Arboretum.
So did you see that hand in there, Gertrude?
And Gertrude did not make an appearance. People love bringing up Gertrude. I mean, Gertrude is never to be spoken of again. I'll have to eat some more before that was
fun. You change your jersey? Well, well, well. You're all having such a good time. I think I'll join. Is that all right?
Please do. All right, I'll
have a drink. It is funny to see Shatner's just being Shatner here. He's not really being Kirk. Well, well, well. It's better than Triacus, isn't it?
What's so good about that place?
But look at these kids' clothes. That girl literally has sunflowers on her dress. It's not like a sunflower print. There's literal sunflowers on her dress. Look at that. Parents like stupid things. Listen to this guy.
My kids better not talk to me like this when I grow up. When they grow up.
These honorary children. And that kid is wearing, seriously, it's like a blanket. Like, he doesn't have proper
my
sleeves.
Kids, you know, like, my, I don't know, maybe I'm a bad dad. My kid's like, I don't like this. Like, you were like, you want supper or whatever? You want a dessert? Like, you want a cookie or banana or whatever? I don't like banana. Okay, so here's your choice. Do you want this or nothing? My kids look at me and they're like, this.
How draconian of you, Brennan?
Is it? I don't know what that means. What does draconian mean?
You know, it's one of those words that I've heard used and I can use in a sentence, but I can't define.
It's gotcha.
An unfair dictatorship would be how I would describe it.
Listeners in the Babel Conference, tell us in the comments what draconian means. Is it like Draco Malfoy?
Well, that's where they get the name from.
Now wait a minute.
Can we have some more ice cream, please?
Can we have some more ice cream, please?
No, I don't think so. It'll spoil your dinner.
These adults are the worst. They won't let us eat more ice cream.
I said that to my kid the other day. She was eating too many chocolates at grandma's house. I'm like, it's going to spoil your dinner. Adults all say that.
Kirk wants to ask him a question. Excuse me, are you my nephew? Because you look really familiar.
Peter. You want old man?
Remember your failure at the cave.
You were there. Did you see your father?
Only
it is in the cave.
You.
There you go. It says the cave. Yes, this is Yoda.
Yeah, he was very upset.
Weapons. You will not need them.
Also, if there's anybody out there that likes this episode, please tell us why.
That is strong words coming from you, my friend. You're usually the guy that answers those questions when people ask.
I did an hour-long episode about why I like the alternative factor. Plus, we wrote a sequel on the animated podcast.
You've done your work, man. You've earned your keep to be a fan of that episode. I will say, you know, I think the setup of this episode is intriguing. Like, you know, they show up and a colony has had mass suicide. That's pretty dark. And they try to balance that out with, oh, look at the kids, they're having fun, you know, because that lightens the mood, but it undercuts everything. And had they just left the kids out, they might have had something here. There's a kernel of a good idea here, as in old Star Trek stories, but the execution and the direction they chose to go in was just a failure.
So if you wrote this, you would completely take the kids out?
Maybe just have one kid.
And like one parent or what?
Here's what I would do. I would have one kid, and he thinks he was responsible for killing everyone. But then he befriends Spock because Spock saved his life, and he gets a Spock haircut, and he starts playing chess with Spock. And then he says, "I am a Vulcan. I do not lie. I have no emotions." I think that would be.
And then he starts doing his hair like Spock.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah. I think that would be a great episode of Star Trek, Brandon. A surefire hit.
I think it would do better in the Next Generation, though, don't you?
Maybe so. You know, maybe so.
We could call it Hero Worship.
We could call it, you know, that's a great title for that, too. Hero Worship.
Hail, hail, fire and snow. Call the angel. We will go far away for to see. Friendly angel, come to me.
Be careful, Brandon. We don't want to summon the Gorgon here.
Oh, he's already here. There he is. Somebody should totally cosplay this.
Well, it's the cheapest cosplay ever. All you need is a shower curtain. Really?
That's not a shower curtain. That's a muumuu.
That is a muumuu underneath a shower curtain. So, the Gorgon here, he's played by Melvin Bell. Melvin Belly, who was a famous attorney in
Baylock.
The 60s.
That was the guy on Corbomite Maneuver.
No.
Oh.
He was not Baylock. Ted Cassidy was the voice of Baylock. So, Fred Freiberger, who was the producer, head producer on season 3 of Star Trek, he was really excited about getting Melvin Belly on the show. He thought it was going to be, you know, a ratings draw to get this famous attorney who had no acting experience, by the way. The TV guide listing of this episode, right? This is what it says. Attorney Melvin Belly makes his TV acting debut as Gorgon, the friendly angel, the incarnation of pure evil. The green-tinged, semi-transparent Gorgon uses children to unleash the beast in the human soul. 5 children, who have already induced their parents to commit suicide, are now aboard the Enterprise, ready to spread Gorgon's malevolence throughout the universe. So that's their description.
So, like, the only thing they didn't spoil in that summary right there was that the kid wasn't happy with the 2 white ice cream.
Yeah. Classic TV guide spoiling everything.
Now, what was famous about this Melvin Belly? Did he work on any famous cases, maybe, perhaps?
He worked on the Zodiac case, actually. And he didn't he speak to the Zodiac killer, like, on the telephone, like, over the air?
Yes. So that's when I actually found out about this. I'm actually watching the Zodiac movie a couple years ago, and they're all like, this guy was on Star Trek. I'm like, what? What? Like, they talk about it in the movie that Fincher directed. And, yeah, so he's, like, being filmed on this talk show on TV, and the guy who was apparently the real Zodiac killer called in, and he was talking to him on the telephone.
That's a good movie, by the way. Brian Cox plays Melvin
Belly.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal and Robert Downey Jr. are the main leads in it as well.
That movie scares me. That is like one of the only movies that actually scares me.
It scares you more than seeing knives and swords in space as you fly the Enterprise, Brandon? Would that be more scary than that?
Yes, it would.
Again, we're continuing our trend of just talking about everything but the episode we're talking about, which is probably for the best in this case.
Who recorded this?
I mean, he's not doing the selfie. Does he have a selfie? He must have a selfie stick for a tricorder, Brandon. That's the only answer. You don't see the arm.
Selfie stick personal log. The feeling of anxiety we've all been experiencing is growing worse. There is another portion, Captain, which I believe you'll find particularly
interesting. Oh, no. Ooh. Now he's holding the tricorder in this one, so...
Oh, there goes your theory.
He must be doing it in a mirror. Standing in front of a mirror recording this.
That's the funny thing about Star Trek. It doesn't always hold up.
Here we go.
That is just the weirdest move.
Yeah, it's an odd choice.
And, like, nobody's, like, watching this kid, like... That kid just beat the TV to death.
Oh, hey, whoa. Hey there, Peter. Captain, after we leave here, can you take us to Mark I'm going to call him Peter.
No, we'll probably take you to a Federation starbase.
But I have relatives on Marcus 12.
I'm sorry, Tommy.
Marcus 12
is not within our patrol area. Mr. Spock will pursue this in my quarters.
Captain, can I stay here and watch? I'll be very quiet.
A regular Wesley Crusher wants to stay on the bridge and watch.
He kind of looks like Wesley Crusher.
Mm-hmm. This is the proto Wesley Crusher, guys. Again, Star Trek and kids don't mix. Wesley was only good when he left and came back to the show, in my opinion.
Mr. Leslie, named after his daughter. Yeah, these newer effects definitely are not doing much to help this episode.
Well, we'll see how the knives and swords in space hold up when it comes in later. That's one of the things I really remember about this episode.
Is that this episode?
Mm-hmm. It's because they're all seeing their greatest fear. Uhura is to grow old, and Kirk is to lose the Enterprise, and it's just like the cave on Dagobah. Again, Star Wars and Star Trek. It's a snake eating itself. So now Sulu's under the magic spell of the hand gesture.
The fist. Yeah. He just fisted Sulu. No, he's fisting Chekhov.
Oh, boy. All right. Brandon is cracking himself up. I'm trying to maintain composure here, Brandon, on this commentary that we have to cannot edit. So pull yourself together, man.
Raid me in.
So now we got two kids on the bridge. Oh, see, now this is something I'll say about. I'm going to maintain composure here, Brandon, and keep the course steady. I'm like the Enterprise here. The stars are getting faster, which is actually something we almost never see on the original series. Oh.
Uhura's freaking out. Mr. Solo! Sulu does his high face.
It's exactly like in City of the Edge of Forever when he got the Cortisine shot. So now Uhura is under their spell.
Will we reach Marcos 12 soon?
Very soon.
There we go. Here comes the Fast Enterprise. Yeah, remastered for the win on that one.
Warp 12. There's a lot of hexagons in the 60s.
So here comes Scotty. What do you like Scotty's Season 3 haircut or his Season 1 and 2 haircut, Brandon?
He's beautiful both ways.
Clearly not a strong preference.
No. I love how they hide his finger, though.
He's so self-conscious about it, right? And yeah. He's a... What do you mean we haven't changed course?
Have you gone completely blind? It's not orbiting position. Don't touch the control, sir.
What if that kid, like, mind-fisted some whiskey in front of him? Like, do you think he could get him drunk if he, like, mind-fisted a bottle of scotch?
This red shirt at standing up at the panel, he looks like James Colley from Phase 2, just with the Elvis
hair.
Does.
Doesn't
he? Look at him. Not
yet. They're going to fight each other over them not being in orbit.
Yeah. Oh!
Oh, from behind. Still watching the videos. This guy made a lot of logs.
Well, you know how people are on their iPhones now, you know, always making videos.
Selfie sticks.
I decided to send a dispatch to Starfleet, warning them. God forgive us. Must destroy ourselves.
Yeah, this, like, I just don't understand the motivation of this thing in here, like this Gorgon.
Well, he gets power from people's fear, I guess?
When you gotta say, I guess, when you're trying to justify it, then there's problems.
I'm not trying to justify it, I'm just trying to understand it. Children, that is the complete record. So the reason I'm going to just wager a guess here, the reason that this scene is in Kirk's quarters is probably because the briefing room set was turned into the arboretum for this episode, so they couldn't sit around the briefing room and talk about it. That's my opinion.
Why would they waste money on that?
That's true. They could have just been in the rec room.
Like, have you seen the empath? They're like, no sets in that thing. They're that broke. There's no sets. And they're wasting this? Like, see, it's like a box in the middle of the floor. Is their set.
Season three, man. You gotta love it. Spock and McCoy actually had some good dialogue about what evil does there, but we were being silly talking over it.
Oh, sorry. The seat of a band of marauders who made constant war throughout the system of... We're not rewinding it.
We're getting our exposition about the history of Triacus.
An Epsilon-y Indy. Now, going back to your guys' last episode of Standard Orbit, what if this was the episode that Harv Bennett did the sequel to?
It's a lot of potential there with the Gorgon, you know?
Yeah.
It's Melvin Belly. Was he still around in 1982?
The Wrath of Belly.
Yeah.
I was speaking of a legend. The Wrath of Gorgon.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been quite the box office draw that Ricardo Montalban was.
I think you're probably right. From these children, you are treading dangerously. I understand your diagnosis, but
not to the exclusion of the safety of the Enterprise. Thank you. It's kind of a out of nowhere Star Trek fanfare there, but that's fine.
Okay, go back to your book. Let's get something else to talk about. What else does Cushman have to say about this episode?
You're not getting drawn into this episode?
And I am, but for completely different reasons. It's like hypnosis. An unseen force was influencing him, that he recognized it,
was beginning to fight it, and canceled his request for a ship. Some of the trivia about some of the children we can talk about is, as you already mentioned, Craig Hunley invented the blaster beam that they used in Star Trek the Motion Picture. That's pretty interesting. He's also he was a jazz pianist at a young age as well, so he's always been musically talented. Pamela Ferdin played Mary. She had already been on the Andy Griffith Show, Bewitched, My Three Sons, Family Affair, The Monkees. So she was also the original voice of Lucy from the Peanuts series of animated, you know, specials, the Charlie Brown cartoon. So
cool.
So that's pretty cool.
That's a great shot.
And the remastered anyway.
Yeah.
Brian Tachi, he was 9. He played Ray. And he had just appeared.
Oh, whoa! This is the best. This is the best ever.
Oh.
So they're sending down these guys to go down to the planet to investigate, but they're not around the planet anymore. Right? Where do they beam to?
That's scary stuff, man.
I know. That's awesome. Like nobody, there's no safety feature on that. There's no planet down there. Beep, 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 beep.
It should be a little warning sign that pops up. Like, are you sure you want to transport?
Like, just picture those guys' faces when they, like, materialize in space.
Well, they'd probably be blue.
Now, if they're also traveling away at warp speed, could they have even solidified into a solid matter if they beam them out?
Transwarp beaming, like, had not been invented yet. That's true, Brandon.
So, like, have you ever tried to print something, like, on an old dot matrix printer or whatever, and you just rip the paper out quicker, and it, like, doesn't print properly? Like, it would be like that. There'd be, like, red shirt ensigns from one sector to the next. Captain DeBridge, Mr. Sulu, we're
not orbiting Triacus. With all respects, Captain, you're... These five kids here tell me we're orbiting Triacus.
These kids you left in command, they told us we're good.
My bit of trivia before you really cut me off there, Brendan.
Sorry.
About Brian Tachi. I was going to Tachi Station to pick up some power converters. No, it's Tachi with a C. He played Ray, and he actually reappeared in The Next Generation. He was Kenny Lynn in Night Terrors. So, Ensign Kenny Lynn. So, same kind of idea, though, actually, episode. You know, you see fear manifest itself in visual form. So, anyway.
Boo! There he is again.
So the kid that didn't like his ice cream, Brandon, that was Cesar Belly. He was the 11-year-old son of Melvin Belly.
Wow.
You can really tell that he was not an actor by trade. So. And then let's see, Mark Robert Brown played Don. He was 10. He had been on I Spy, Andy Griffith, Bewitched, The Monkees, you know. So he was actually found a lot of fame doing commercials for Wonder Bread, McDonald's, Three Musketeers, Mattel, stuff like that. So that's the rundown of the kids there. So file that away in your trivia banks, Star Trek fans.
I've already forgotten it.
If you need me, call me, and I'll be there. That's what he just, yeah, that's what he just said.
Yeah, like, this is... That's a weird dress he has on.
Did you guys just see that?
Like, the security guard, Mr. Leslie, is just standing there looking at him, like, doesn't even whip out his phaser or anything.
So I guess it's a trope in fiction to have evil kids, but these kids are not that intimidating, you know? Like The Omen or movies like that. You can have creepy kids, but... I don't know, man.
Kids are creepy, man. I got three of them.
Oh, there we go. Gotta love that. You see that zoom they just did there? Gotta love that. Ooh, they, you know what? I don't think
optical
they...
Optical zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, they did. Sulu.
I don't think they remastered these swords, Brandon. Those look pretty 1960s to me.
Get Mike and Denise on the line and ask them if they remastered.
Excuse me, did you guys not take extra time and care to And the Children Shall Eat? Aye, aye, sir. Oh, look, a new mirror. More optical zoom.
Is this thing always there, that mirror?
No.
Ah!
I think they made it. I'm old. I never thought this would happen to me.
She didn't look that way when she got to...
Yeah, Nichelle Nichols aged a lot better than Uhura's worst nightmare here. Thank goodness. Pull yourself together! The reaction shot from Shatner is hilarious. Still seeing those cartoon swords, Captain. I'm terrified.
What? Like, what kind of fear is this? I'm like, worried of swords coming at me from
I'm
space.
Worried that we're gonna...
Okay, I can understand that she doesn't want to get old. You know, I'm not...
That was... Oh my gosh. Brandon, we've lost Brandon. Yes, Brandon. I'm watching the same episode as you. I saw him grab his face. That's right up there with Spock and Chekhov in the Tholian Web. You know, that was a great face grab by Shatner.
Oh, man.
It just kind of reminds me of a motion picture where Spock's trying to use the controls and V'ger is zapping him.
At least he's logical about it.
He's very, very passively aggressive. I cannot obey your order, Captain. Oh, she's still old.
Oh, she's still old.
Oh. Just don't look at the mirror, Uhura. All right, enough with the swords, guys. I mean, seriously, like... What are you afraid of? Like, a ship's going to hit the sword? Like, you have shields and stuff, man. Like,
and you're going down the center of it, too.
Let's see, like, a giant space squid or something out there getting you. Not the sword. No, enough with the optical zoom, too. Like, come on. Like, Did you not think we could have zoomed in, like, or dollied in or something? I don't know.
It's the same shot,
it's
too.
It's
like,
the
just
same
repeated.
Shot. It's the same shot. Oh, Mr. Leslie. Come on, man.
Oh, they didn't zoom in there.
No.
Is he mind-melding himself?
Kirk is talking in Zatanna speak from DC Comics, where she, when she speaks backwards, she casts her magic spells. What Kirk actually says actually does make sense. Well, all they did was they just played Shatner's dialogue backwards. They didn't actually have Shatner, like, speak backwards. They just recorded his dialogue and played it back backwards.
He looks like he needs older William Shatner and his Albran.
Captain, we must get off this bridge.
We must get off this bridge. One Riker! One bridge!
I'm losing command. I'm losing my ability to command.
This is embarrassing.
Losing the Enterprise.
Now, this is his greatest fear, though, so, I mean, that makes sense. Like, the way they're
awesome.
Going about executing it is... See, that's a zoom. Not a post-zoom. Alone. This is, like, they need to show this scene...
It's like a cat regurgitating.
They need to show this at acting school, just so people can analyze the greatness of Shatner's performance here.
If this was a different kind of movie, they'd pull the camera out and there'd be a knife in Shatner's belly.
Yeah, it looked like Spock is about to give him the Vulcan death grip there. But God, that scene
There's
right
no
there.
No such thing as the Vulcan death grip.
Everybody knows that. Shut up, Chapel or McCoy, whoever said that. So smart. Yeah, you would know everything about Vulcans, Chapel. That right there was probably the worst acting scene of Shatner's career. I mean, come on, man. Oh, I'm losing command. Oh, no.
Where to, Captain? Auxiliary control.
Auxiliary control. Vulcan friend.
My Vulcan friend. I don't say that to people. I don't, like, hey, Zach, my human friend.
Yeah, you're trying to mix up that. You talk to these people all day. You're trying to spice up the conversation, man.
I can't do that, sir.
Hey there, my Scottish friend.
Instruments. I will not have you upset their delicate balance. We would all be lost, forever lost.
Oh, his wee bairns.
Auxiliary control. I guess that was just a redress of engineering whenever they see it, Brandon. Is that what you recall?
Yeah, probably.
Because I mean, they have all the red grating is the key.
Yeah, the hexagons. This is where those hippies took over too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we see auxiliary control in the Way to Eden. We see the Doomsday Machine on the Constellation. So it's a cool, you know, it's basically the battle bridge of the originals of the original Enterprise.
This kid is just shaking his fist repeatedly.
At least they're not doing a zoom in and post on him. Hey, you know, Q snaps his fingers. These kids wave their fists around in the air. You know, everybody has their little gesture.
They should, like, they could put, like, the Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall was really under the Gorgon's powers.
So, you know, Marvin Belli, some more trivia, he defended Jack Ruby.
Yes.
The man who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald, who himself had assassinated JFK. So that's an interesting wrinkle. I mean, talk about... I mean, the Johnny Cochran of his day, I guess. he had some other celebrity clients like Mae West, Errol Flynn, Zsa Gabor, Muhammad Ali, and the Rolling Stones. So he had quite a celebrity resume there.
So he defended Jack Ruby, who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald. So is that what he was defending him for? It was for the assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald? I would guess, right?
Yeah. And I don't remember how that case ended up. I know that Jack Ruby's defense was he just loved JFK so much, you know. But You can unravel about 17 conspiracy theories of that whole story.
Did you ever see that Stephen King, or read the book, or see this show, that 1122?
I have the book. I intend to read it before I watch the Hulu series with James
so
Franco.
Good. It is so good.
Sorry, Captain, but I must insist you and Mr. Spock come with me to the detention section.
What is the detention section? The brig? Come on, it's third season, guys. Get your terminology right. Detention section.
Do not force me to kill you, sir. I will if I have to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is, you know what, I don't even know how many times I've seen this episode, but it's not many.
It's literally less than five times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, this is like...
This is a false order.
Yeah.
I have never disobeyed an order, Captain. You know, I have never disobeyed...
I know that, Ensign, you have never disobeyed an order, but an alien being is aboard the ship.
I will not disobey now, I cannot disobey!
Ensign, listen to me, you will disobey this order!
Starfleet commands to proceed to order, sir!
Oh, Spock just using a karate chop there, man.
What happened to the Vulcan neck pinch?
Come on, man. Come on, Nimoy. Have some integrity for the character.
He's like, it's season three. I don't care.
You know what? I give him credit. They're not using stunt doubles here. They probably didn't have the button. There he goes. There's the neck pinch. Why don't you leave with that next time, Spock? They're not using stunt doubles here. Probably because they don't have the budget in season three. So this is legit Shatner and Nimoy throwing down with these guys.
Why don't they neck pinch that kid?
Oh, he got up fast from a Vulcan neck pinch.
Rubbing his neck.
Oh, man. Look at this guy sitting in the chair. There's Billy Blackburn there.
Yeah. What's Sulu still doing there?
Look at Uhura. She's still back there upset. I'm still old.
She did.
Do you understand?
It's like hours ago. Is he gonna hit him?
Yeah, I know, right? Be careful there, Shatner.
Your friend. Where is your friend? Where is that stowaway? Why does he hide?
He will come if we call him.
But we won't. We don't need him. We're not afraid of you.
Good. I'm glad you're not afraid of me. But your leader is afraid. What's he afraid of?
He is not afraid of anybody.
He's not afraid of anything.
He's afraid to be seen. And when the crew sees and hears him, they'll understand that he is not their friend.
And they won't. We're getting sucked in, Brandon. We're getting sucked into the episode.
I'm just waiting until the kids start crying. It's my favorite part.
Bring him out.
When it says the parent.
I'll follow him to Marcus 12 and to the ends of the universe.
No! I'll follow him to the moons of Nivea. Rounds perdition flames.
Mr. Spock, play back the chant the children sang to summon.
Uh-oh, you see, here's the problem. See, they have 23rd century Echo. You know, Alexa and Echo records everything you say. It can be used against you. So that's what they did here.
This is what happens when you get rid of all your firewalls on your computer.
The sophisticated alien could not tell the difference between a live performance and a recording. For shame, sir.
These kids just have free reign. Yeah, those are some crazy... Do you think these are legit 60s clothes?
That's what I'm saying. Like, Star Trek civilian wear does not hold up.
The kid's wearing, like, a full-body kilt or something.
Take your time, Melvin.
The time has come, the warrior said, to speak of other things.
Of shoes and ships and sealing wax?
And cavaliers and kings.
I did, Gorgon.
Yeah, so you could, like, get some kind of sparkly blue shower curtain and just cover yourself with Christmas lights. Green Christmas lights.
You can see the the dirt and the hair in the film. Look at that.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Step your game. I know it's season three.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to clean that up from...
From remastered, no. You can only add to it because they didn't have the original elements like TNG.
Right. Wonder how this guy... Why is this guy never at the conventions?
I think he's passed away for quite some time.
Oh. Well, then he has a good reason.
So they got Melvin Belli on the show to boost the ratings, right? But Star Trek, it came in third in the ratings after, you know, after ABC and CBS. That night they lost to Judd for The Defense and the Friday Night Movie on CBS. The ratings ploy did not work. The sweeps week.
You know, I remember reading that. How many networks were there at the time when it came in third?
Well, there was three. And then there was, then of course, usually you had like a local, you know, public access channel or something like that, so.
Why should you fear it?
I fear nothing.
So we were told. Mr. Spock, the pictures, the children are waiting.
And again, who's filming this? You know, but you say that, though. You see, we always used to say that, Brandon, in Star Trek in our older days. Like, who's filming this? But look, in this day and age, everything is filmed. Everybody has an iPhone. Everybody's recording every activity. Like, our lives and our children's lives are going to be so
who's editing
documented.
It?
Okay,
who's
that's
editing
a good point.
It? Okay, fine.
Oh, they're down in there. That's what they do in auxiliary control, Brandon. They're editing all the library computer banks.
Well, maybe they can edit my podcast for me, too.
Okay, so that's the thing that blew up. That little dome they have. That's that ash structure that we saw when they first beamed down.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it blew up.
Look how happy they are. Look at that smile. So happy. I see my mom and my dad. Oh, I love it. It's so happy.
You know what this is a lot like, Brandon? Let's tie it all together.
Oh,
current events.
They're all dead.
Let's tie it into current events. It's not like it, right? Because the kids have the power to give it its strength, and then when they don't believe anymore, it goes away. So there you go. Stephen King ripped off this episode to make it. What do you think of that?
I think it is better than this. Have you seen the trailer for the new It?
Yeah, what did you think of it?
Oh, man, I can't wait till that comes out.
I think they're breaking it up into two movies. Like, the first movie's just going to be when they're kids, and the second movie's going to be when they're adults, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, that's for sure.
You were also too late. The kind ones always are.
Yeah, make those kids cry. Okay, do you cry from that side of your eye? Because I don't.
He wiped his...
Who cries from
perhaps,
that side of
perhaps
their
he
eye?
Wiped his face off, okay?
No, it was coming out of that side of the eye. Oh, look at that kid. So we just, like, shot a hose in her face or
well,
something?
Well, yeah, it's called fake water they put on their faces, Brandon.
We have millions of friends on Mars.
Look at her. She's, like, allergic to it. She's, like, so red. Ah!
Our purity of purpose cannot be contaminated by those who disagree, who will not cooperate, who do not understand. They must be annihilated.
Don't be afraid.
Best climax ever.
He's starting to get ugly.
Without you children, he's nothing.
Was like diamonds on his face?
Yeah, that was an odd. He like has the. He's getting the phage, Brandon. The Vidian phage.
Phage.
Look at him.
Vidian
phage.
Messing up his hair. No, it's the Miri disease.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, forces of evil appearing as angels of light and things like that. So there is some merit to that kind of concept, scaring children with and misleading them in that way. But again, just look at that, guys. That's poor execution right there.
Death to you all. Death to you all.
Oof, this is quite the episode. I think that girl's really crying.
Oh, the swords are finally gone. Thank goodness. The Windows screensaver, Windows 95 screensaver is finally gone. Uhura's young again.
They're crying, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Bones.
Happened,
it's good to see them cry.
It's all right.
I don't know how it happened. You should have seen this guy, this burn victim.
Oh, Bones, you should have been here.
Just here. You should totally get these guys onto your podcast and, like, interview them about this episode. I'm sure they're still alive. They probably are.
Marcus 12, dead ahead, sir. Reverse course, Mr. Sulu. I see.
Is it over? Is it over?
You can never tell the original.
Is it over?
You can never tell the original series because sometimes it ends very abruptly, right? It'll just like end, and then sometimes there'll be like an extra scene with like McCoy and Spock and Kirk talking about everything that happened. This one is going to end abruptly. All is well.
Why did you pick this episode?
Well, it's the worst episode of the original series, Brandon, and we both agree on it. But let's look at the end credits here, because I always love this part. That's good. That's from Spectre of the Gun. Paradise Syndrome.
Paradise Syndrome.
Gorgon, not Gorgon. That's from For the World's Hollow and I've Touched the Sky.
Yes.
I have no idea what episode that one's from. That's pretty generic. Shot of Scotty there, so who knows?
That's that one with Scotty.
You got me there. Cat's Paw. That's from Immunity Syndrome when Spock goes to get the shuttle.
Did you ever see that Simpsons where they like did the Star Trek ending at the end of the Simpsons? And they had Mr. Burns as like the Baylock's alien?
Well, they did the same thing on Futurama. They had Zap Brannigan's number, first officer. As
Kiff.
That. So Brandon, that's the episode, folks. Did it hold up?
No.
We don't do a lot of commentaries here on Standard River. We thought, you know what, let's just revisit this episode. I feel like the only reason I would ever watch the episode is again if I could watch it with someone and have a good time talking about it. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If not, watch it on its own. And like Brandon said, if you do enjoy this episode on its own merits, please let us know why. I've been trying to sneak in some actual analysis here throughout our discussion. And I do think there were a couple of kernels of good ideas here, but complete execution failure, like on every level. So the acting was terrible. The lawyer and the kid, the production was just, the production value was bad, even for season 3 Star Trek standards. I mean, Shatner was ridiculous. Entertainingly so, though. Not much redeeming, almost no redeeming qualities to this episode.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to go do now? I'm going to go watch The Alternative Factor. I'm going to watch something good.
Oh, boy. Well, Brandon, if people want to find you on the network, where can they find you, man?
You can find me here with new episodes of Melodic Treks, which is all about the music of Star Trek. You can find me co-hosting Warp 5, which is all about Star Trek Enterprise. And even if you're not an Enterprise fan, check us out. We've been doing some great stuff. We've had a lot of really good interviews. We interviewed Eric Pierpoint. We interviewed Tucker Smallwood. We interviewed Gary Graham. We interviewed Phyllis Strong. We interviewed Manny Cotto. We've had the wonderful, awesome John Tenuto on for a couple of episodes. We've been doing a lot of really great stuff. Even if you're not an Enterprise fan, you should come and check us out over there. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella. And if you've been watching our Twitter feed at Trek FM over the last little bit, I've been doing a daily Twitter poll on a whole bunch of different topics. And every once in a while, I poke my head up in the Babel conference.
Well, Brandon, that was fun. But talking about Star Trek's worst episode isn't the only thing we've been doing on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at some other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
All right, I'll tell you what. You know, I have never, ever, ever worn a costume or cosplayed or anything like that. Now the challenge, the gauntlet has been out there. We're going to have to put together a Mugatu costume.
Mugatu costume.
We got to.
To the journey!
Make him taller. Give him some salt and pepper gray hair.
Yeah. Make those shoulders broader.
Computer, put a tattoo over his left eye. Oh my god, look what I just did!
I made a chicote.
Warp 5.
Are you an outside entity that is watching you deal as the bad archer with the good archer? And Scott just looks at me and turns around and goes, oh, God, will someone come here and get Gary a script?
Meta Treks.
But these Romulans are still walking around in those nasty pointy shoulder tunics that they wear. I mean, what's up with that?
Doesn't seem like they shed as much of their identity as the Klingons
did. Not shedding as much of their identity.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, get the show on iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well. If you would like to get in touch with us here at Trek FM, you can always find us on trek.fm/contact and look in the sidebar on the show page, or you can go to speakpipe.com/trekfm and please leave us a voice message. You can also contact us through Twitter at Trek FM, Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm, and the Babel Conference. Type the Babel Conference, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at trek.fm and click discussion on the menu bar. Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on the content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. And speaking of Patreon, thank you as always to our associate producers for Standard Orbit: Renee Roberts, Norman Lau, Aaron Harvey, Tim Robertson, Nick Anastasio, and Richard Marquez. Thank you so much for all of your support for both Standard Orbit and Trek.fm through Patreon. You can find Renee on Twitter @MRES_1701, Norm on Twitter @Starfighter1701, Aaron on Twitter @GeekFilter, and Tim on Twitter @TimRobertson56. And Nick and Richard aren't on Twitter, but you can find them on Facebook and around the Babel Conference. As for me personally, you can find me on Twitter @MoronZach, that's MOOREONZACH, and you can find my other podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, on Twitter @AlwaysMallville with one S, and we cover the Young Superman show, Smallville, that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. So thanks everyone for listening, and join us again next time here on Trek FM for another episode of Standard Orbit.